Welcome back to Schneps Connects. We're going to delve a little bit into the Bronx today. And I want to remind everybody that Schneps Connects is now also live events. Every month we get together business leaders on different topics, and it's amazing networking. Check it all out at schnepsconnects.com. And of course, the podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms and on our website at podcasts.schnepsmedia.com. So today I'm joined by LaToya Williams-Belfort, who is the Executive Director of the Bronx Community Foundation. LaToya is a seasoned nonprofit leader with more than 20 years of experience advancing equity for historically excluded communities. She leads the Bronx's only community foundation, where she oversees strategic philanthropy, cross-sector partnerships, and institutional growth to expand economic opportunity and build long-term community wealth across the borough. Throughout her career, LaToya has raised more than $100 million and built sustainable funding models that drive lasting impact. Most recently, as the inaugural executive director and CEO of 15% Pledge, she helped guide the organization from launch to national prominence, securing multi-year corporate commitments that redirected more than $14 billion to Black-owned businesses. So LaToya, looking forward to hearing all about it and learning more about you. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me, Joshua. I'm so excited to be here and to chat and to talk about the Bronx and all the good work happening at the Bronx Community Foundation.
Listen, I love it. And, you know, running a nonprofit's not easy. And a big part of not easy is getting the money. And it sounds like you've been successful doing that. So congratulations. And, you know, talk a little bit about the nonprofit sector and what got you into that kind of role and leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a Bronx native. And so I was born in Manhattan. I was raised in the Bronx. I grew up in the Bronx. I developed into a young woman in the Bronx. I got married in the Bronx. I had my children in the Bronx. And I say that to say, I always thought it was such a privilege, right, to grow up in New York City, right, to be a city kid. For high school, I was able to travel down into what people call the city, you know, when you live in the outer boroughs, you refer to Manhattan as the city. And it just really expanded my horizons on, you know, just the different communities, right? The different struggles. Again, growing up in the Bronx, I would take the 5 train and I would ride through the top of the Bronx. I would ride through the South Bronx. I would ride, you know, into Manhattan and into Lower Manhattan. And I was a very observant young person. And I just saw how communities changed, you know, how people showed up, the conversations that would happen on the train as you went through the different communities. And I think that fabric stayed with me as I developed, as I, you know, was the first in my family to go to college. You know, and again, right, growing up in the Bronx and kind of listening to the adults in my family, understanding their struggles and kind of how they were fighting to have access and live their best lives and their best experiences. And I guess now I have the language to understand that there were systemic barriers at play, right? Back then, I just knew that there was a lot of really good people that were working really hard. And, you know, sometimes it was very challenging for them to get ahead, so to speak. So that was in my DNA. So once I went to college and I got a degree in media and communications, and I think like most young people, I worked really hard to, you know, get a job in corporate America. And I thought that was the path for me. And then I really felt my passion, you know, bubbling up, wanting to be able to go back into the community that had poured into me, that had raised me in the Bronx, the New York City community overall. And I think I had a really understanding that there was a lot of work to do to create opportunities for children and families that wanted to have a trajectory that I was having, right? That wanted to be able to go to college, wanted to be able to, you know, build self-esteem and resources and opportunity through work. So I found myself actively transitioning and looking for opportunities in the nonprofit sector.
I love it. Yeah. Well, listen, I think, you know, we're paying attention too. We own the Bronx Times and we're doing a whole series now called the Forgotten Borough.
Yeah.
Because it really is a shame, you know, they're, let alone the borough, but, you know, there's certain communities that for whatever reason have really been left behind and need the support of organizations like yours to really make it a better place for people to live and work. So let's talk about the Bronx Community Foundation. Talk to me about the mission and really what the dedication of the organization is.
Yeah, so I'm obviously, as we used to say many years ago, drinking the Kool-Aid as it relates to the foundation and all the good work that the foundation has done. But the Bronx Community Foundation is just about 10 years old. So many people don't realize that they've been on the ground doing work. The Bronx Community Foundation was a big leader in the COVID response in the Bronx and across the city as a whole. I've been in the seat for 7 months. So I've been, relatively new leading the organization in this next phase of work. But 10 years old, the Bronx Community Foundation has raised and distributed over $15 million, which I think is really a testament to the dedicated work of the board and just of the organization really living its mission and vision. The organization is a grant-making organization. So when you hear us say the first and only community foundation, what that means is that in the Bronx overall, there are over 2,000 service-providing nonprofits. So when you think about organizations on the ground who are running food pantries, who are running shelters, who are doing very critical work in many communities through the Bronx, right, they are considered direct service nonprofit organizations. The Bronx Community Foundation, we are a grant-giving foundation. So we
I
like
see.
to convene nonprofits. We like to work with nonprofits to kind of drive collective impact. How do we bring in business leaders? How do we work with elected officials? How do we do the work as the one and only community foundation to drive resources to uplift and support and ultimately give grants to the service providing nonprofits that are working in the Bronx? So we're really proud to be kind of a investment engine that is pouring into supporting, collaborating with very, very critical service providing organizations that's doing key work on the ground in the borough.
So I have to ask you, do you know Jocelyn Rainey from Brooklyn Org?
Of course I do. I know
She's
Jocelyn.
terrific. I
Yes.
love her, and her organization does. I guess, is it similar to your organization in terms of finding great nonprofits and helping them with funding?
Yes, it is very similar to our model. I think where you find some differences and some nuances, I always say, as I'm sure you know, the Bronx is a very nuanced borough, right? In the ecosystems of boroughs, we are kind of the last to come along many journeys as it relates to economic development, as it relates to ensuring that there are many economic and equitable opportunities for people in the Bronx. So Brooklyn, when you think about Brooklyn and the great work that's happening at Brooklyn Org, Brooklyn is just a different environment than the Bronx. Although we share the New York City landscape, Brooklyn is at a different development and economic place. And the Bronx has its own journey. So the work that we do at the foundation is really tailored to the needs and the nuances, the challenges, and the unique resilience, right? And history and value that lives in the Bronx. So we really work with Bronxites, and our work is really infused by community voice to make sure that we are tailoring our supports to really meet Bronx families and Bronxites where they are kind of in the Bronx's trajectory of growth and development.
So what do you think the Bronx needs? I know that's a big kind of question,
How
right?
much
But
time do we have here, Joshua?
let's talk about priorities. It must be very difficult for you,
Yeah.
right? Is finding these organizations, but where are you looking at in terms of priorities, in terms of support that's needed in the community?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, the Bronx Community Foundation, we have four pillars where we really focus our efforts. And those pillars are equity and justice, economic development, public health, right? And then digital equity. When we look at the data, when we look at, what infusions and investment, so to speak, where areas of investment will really move the needle as it relates to generational change, that is what the data has shown us. However, because the Bronx is a very nuanced landscape, we do work with elected officials, work with business leaders to create kind of game time solutions to meet challenges that arise along our journey to make sure that we're really kind of systematizing innovation, if you will, and we're able to be flexible and fluid and respond to community input, right? So we work in those four areas. But ultimately, I think what our work all bubbles up to is creating, sustainable, equitable economic opportunity for Bronxites and Bronx families, right, to really have an opportunity to live a sustainable life.
Well,
So,
it's nice that you've really defined that, though, through those different buckets that you just mentioned and really have that focus. Otherwise, it could be so hard to really pinpoint where to spend the money.
And what I just quickly add is that in defining those four areas, the Bronx Community Foundation orchestrated, participated, managed over 1,000 community conversations, right? When you think about how did we come up with those four areas, right? We really listened to Bronxites, again, elected officials, nonprofit partners to say, okay, how do we ensure that community voice is infusing our strategy so that our strategy is authentic and is set up to be successful?
That's good. That's important. Well,
Yeah.
let's talk about the money. Where is the money coming from? Are you raising money from a lot of different places?
Yes. So that's also a fantastic question. It comes from all the verticals.
Okay.
So when we say, again, the one and only Bronx Community Foundation, our work is very custom and we are a holistic fundraiser. So we work with individual donors, we work with corporations, we work with elected officials, we get grants from corporate and family foundations. We work across all verticals of fundraising because what we know about the nonprofit industry is that, again, direct service nonprofits are providing very critical programmatic work. And they don't always have the fundraising infrastructure, right, to meet the needs of their growth and development, right? We also know that as a whole, as an industry, the nonprofit industry is kind of catching up to developing business models that are diversified and that allow nonprofit leaders to grow and develop and manage their businesses, because they're businesses, right, in the right ways. Because the grants and a lot of the funding that are allotted to direct service nonprofits are highly restricted, right? So there aren't dollars for innovation, there aren't dollars for staff training, there aren't dollars for new technology all the time. It's a very core focus on running that very specific program. So, for the Bronx Community Foundation, again, as a fundraising, grant giving organization, we don't run programs. So, we spend a lot of time working all of those partnership verticals to ensure that we can create the necessary investment to be able to make grants and do things like the Day of Action, that we did a few weeks ago, where we gave out, grants to over seven nonprofits. And then we also gave out over 200 laptops directly to children and families as we
Love
continue to work to close the digital divide. So we're a big fundraising engine and we work in every vertical and we bring people together, right? That's also when we talk about collective action, it's really about bringing funders together and decreasing, silos in nonprofit as an industry. There are a lot of silos. And for the Bronx Community Foundation, we really want to bring people together, reduce duplication of efforts. It's such hard work. We're all doing such hard, important, critical work.
it.
We want to reduce duplication of efforts and make sure that we're able to be really strategic and innovative.
One of the things you mentioned was kind of the digital divide. And I feel like, that potentially is going to grow with AI as people become more educated in advanced technology. So what are some things that you're doing to either impact education or workforce opportunities?
So the digital divide is a big, big part of our work and our mission and our strategy. And again, just recently, on March 21st, we had our first annual Day of Action, and we were able to provide over 200 laptops directly to children and families. The foundation has given out thousands of laptops, over its
Love
existence, because we know that, again, our children, our families don't have access to technology. They don't have access to the necessary broadband. And that is a critical, critical gap, right, in workplace and educational development. So we want to work with partners. We want to get devices into the hands of families. And we want to ensure that, we are giving out devices, but we're also making matches to ensure once families get devices, they can have the critical training they need, right, to utilize those devices at a 200% run rate, so to speak. So we're doing a lot of work there around the digital divide. And then we continue to work with our elected officials. You made a great point, Joshua, about the advancement of AI. And there are many elected officials in the Bronx that are doing great work across their districts to make sure that there is synergy, that we continue to work to close the digital divide, but that, we do it in a way that is strategic and encompassing of the advancements that AI is making very rapidly so that families are not left behind. So at the Community Foundation, we're getting devices into hands. We're giving out grants to foundations to run programming to make sure that families are educated, utilizing their devices, at the highest level across workforce and education. And we're partnering with elected officials to make sure that we are working with them to meet their borough-wide KPIs, how we're maximizing their investment. Because again, as a community foundation, it's a leverage giving proposition. If somebody gives us a grant, a $5 for simple math, $5 grant, we go out to all of our other verticals and we say, hey, we're doing this work, this really impactful work. We already have a $5 investment. If you add another $5, we can triple our impact.
Love
So
it.
we are working across all verticals to make sure that we're being really intentional about the parallels between AI's growth and advancement as we continue to work to close the digital divide.
I tell this story often because I feel like people don't realize, and I didn't realize it was eye-opening for me, but I'm going back a couple of years now, but it was an evening and there were tons of people outside a public library. And I had no idea why. And the real reason why is because they needed access to Wi-Fi, to internet. So, you
Absolutely.
take for granted that people don't have basic access. So, and that digital access is economic development, no question about it. So it's great to see that you're, focused on that.
And in 2026, I mean, it's such a multifaceted proposition when you think about just, I mean, not having access to the internet, right? Definitely for the foundation, we are thinking about education and workforce. But even for a young person, if the nucleus of your social interaction, right, is happening online and you are locked out of that development, now we have more, physical, mental, emotional development gaps that we will need to deal with as young people are, in 2026, a lot of growth and development, social activity happens online. And not only do we want to ensure young people have access to that, we want to make sure that they have access to it and they have the right practices at the appropriate ages to stay safe, to stay smart, to be in this digital world and thriving in this digital world. So there's just so much nuance and complexity to the digital divide. And, we have to make sure that children and families have access or they will be locked out in ways that are not just environmental as it relates to economic. We're even thinking about, physical, mental, and emotional development.
So expand on that a little bit more. How are you thinking about helping to like expand economic mobility opportunities? What are some of the things that you're working on in that area?
As we think about our four verticals, it's always interesting. I'll say equity and justice, and I'll say, public health and the digital divide and economic security. And someone will say, what about education? Right? And the nuance of it all is that when you think about the Bronx and what families need and what children's need, in that economic development pillar, there are educational partners that we support, right? Like, how are we getting programming and how are we giving grants to advance programming and devices in schools, right? You talk about libraries, like how are we making sure that children have out of school time, to ensure that they have access to computers and that they're using them for work, but they're using them for social and emotional development as well. We give funding to youth development organizations. One of the youth development organizations, YUCA, that we gave funding to through our Day of Action, right? They work with young people across the spectrum of arts, graphic arts, digital arts, to help young people grow and develop. And that's education and work that is focused on the digital divide, youth development, educational work. So there's just so much synergy. And as a grant-making organization, we're always thinking about, again, right? Like, how do we advance collaboration through our grant investments? How are we empowering nonprofits that are having a very innovative and strategic kind of reach? And then we think about, what does that look like in every zip code also across the borough, right? How are we using data to inform our work and help us to track our KPIs? Because we're also making sure that we're moving young people through a pendulum of data-infused goals, right? So that we know it's working. Investors want to know, like how you asked me, where's the money coming from? Investors want to know, how is the money growing dividends, right? Like, how are we really seeing impact? So we're really looking at organizations across the borough and across the verticals of work, organizations that are in different zip codes and population served, right? Are you an adult that is accessing technology through workforce? Are you an adult that is accessing continued education and technology? Are you a minor child that's K through 12? So we're also looking at those levels of data to make sure, again, that we're reducing redundancy in our grant giving and we're supporting organizations to really have a broad borough-wide impact. We've directly reached approximately 300,000 Bronxites over the last 10 years. And
Love
our
it.
goal over the next 10 years is 800,000 Bronxites reached through our investment and our work. And, there are 1.4 million Bronxites. So 800,000 is really representative of borough-wide impact. And that is our goal because we really want our work to be data infused, but ultimately so that we know we are tracking a generational change. We are really creating opportunity for children and families to move economic percentages out of poverty.
I think communicating that impact you're having probably is critical to raising money. But I'm sure you also have to have a narrative around the opportunity in the Bronx. I mean, the Bronx has also come a long way. There's so many terrific things about the Bronx. But how do you think about communicating, the vision of what the Bronx is today and what it can be in the future?
That is a big part of my leadership proposition. As I take on this new role, I've had over 100 conversations with Bronxites, with leaders in the Bronx, with elected officials. And that really is a key cornerstone to what I want my work to represent, the why of the Bronx. I think traditionally, you meet people like myself, like many of my board members, that have a very clear why, like yourself, right? Very clear why. I grew up in the Bronx. I have a business in the Bronx. I have family members in the Bronx. I went to school in the Bronx. I currently live in the Bronx. But you get a very clear connection. And I think there's another part to that why, too, right? I think the Bronx has such potential, especially under this new administration and affordability agenda that is at play under Mayor Mamdani's leadership, right? And I think that investing in the Bronx in the right ways, in those four areas that we just mentioned, really has the opportunity to see an economic uptick, right? A market growth that is going to be good for the Bronx, but it's also going to be good for the city. The other thing, that I think is critically important and not obvious to most people is that 60% of Bronxites are 35 and under. So what that means is when we think about tracking this investment, being smart and innovative about it, when we think about why the Bronx, there's a real opportunity to activate a theory of change for children and families and the city as a whole, right? To infuse the economy in the right ways if we drive equitable access and resources for Bronx children and families. And what is the trickle up when they can then participate holistically and robustly in the economy? So there's that kind of, unique kind of, intentional or intuitive why. And then there's this bigger, I like to call it like a business proposition. In my previous organization, you mentioned I was the CEO at the 15% pledge, and we were working to get Black businesses in the ecosystems and on the shelves of major retailers. And I think no matter how people came to the proposition, their level of understanding, I think a general agreement, and that's why we were able to do such cross-industry business, was that, driving up the GDP was good for us all, right?
Yeah, of
Driving the most
course.
inclusive, robust economy is good for us all. And
Yep.
I take that same kind of leadership proposition, so to speak, into my work at the foundation, right? Getting the Bronx to be its most economically robust version of itself with those demographics, that population we talked about, is going to be a game changer for the Bronx and for the city.
You talked about how young the borough is. How do you embrace those younger people to get involved in service and philanthropy or, civic leadership?
I love that question. And I'm like smiling from the inside out. So at the day of action, right? I'll go back to the day of action that we just did. Something that we did, a strategy that we rolled out that I thought it was so cool. And I have two sons, one who's 14 and one who's 18. And whenever they give me a
Nice.
stamp of approval, I know I'm onto something, right? So we invited a bunch of local activists, young people, local activists, a bunch of business owners, a bunch of digital storytellers, Bronx natives that have, online presence across different social platforms. And we said, hey, come out. We're doing this cool
Smart.
thing. It's going to be an opportunity to be in, face to face with community. They're going to be elected officials here. Like, this is how you start to touch and feel and bring that valuable work that you're doing, even further into the core of the borough and to the impact that's happening from a collaboration perspective. And we were able, again, to have those different folks come into a space that they don't traditionally have access to, right? To be able to walk in and there are assembly members there and different elected officials and say, hey, I'm doing this cool thing. This is what I know about the Bronx. I'm a business owner. I'm in this district. It was just the magic that turned on. And there were so many young people in that room that day that I know walked away feeling differently. One, about what is possible, through their work. And also, like, how much resources and allyship and community really does exist in the Bronx. The Bronx is a very rich borough and a lot of good people that care about each other and want to push the borough forward. So at the foundation, we are continuing to create opportunities to bring people together and to kind of cut across those generational lines and let young people know. That's why our slogan is by us, for us.
Love it.
It's like, this is a foundation that is for you. Send me an email, talk to me, call me, tell me what is important to you. And, let's get you volunteering, or let me connect you with folks across the borough and the city that are doing work where, your skills and your experiences can be helpful. So that's a core piece of our work. But the Day of Action was the first time we really rolled it out tactically. And it's definitely something we're going to continue to do as we bring young people in to this work and empower them. At the Day of Action, I gave a little speech and I said, listen, 100 years ago, I was you. I was sitting in this room. I was a junior
Not
high
that
schooler.
long ago.
I was a high schooler. I was growing up in the Bronx. And of course, there were challenges. And, after a lot of hard work and, a lot of really caring for my community and being really blessed to be a service leader, a servant leader, I'm here now, helping to facilitate opportunity for you. And that's really what it's about. And I think the young people in the room really connected to that. And I think it opened up kind of a vision for them that they could find their way to philanthropy and community service in a variety of ways.
Well, I think your energy helps too.
Oh,
So you have great energy, Latoya, and
thank
it was such a pleasure to learn more about the Bronx Community Foundation. And hopefully, some of our listeners will reach out and be able to be of help as well. So thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
you as well. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
My pleasure.
Take care.